Did that happen? Eric did. This might be the first time in our history that our online presence might be a little bit greater than our in-person presence. And so if you're joining us online today, welcome. Glad that you are here. If you're joining us in person today, I'm really glad you're here. You all look very beautiful. In fact, this is the best looking church anywhere in the world. And you would know that if you'd attended in person. See how that works. This morning, my intention was that I was going to speak to you about a very short book in the New Testament, called Haggai, or actually Haggai, unless you're actually a scholar, and then you would call it Haggai, and the G's are kind of this guttural kind of, you have to eat something with milk in order to actually make that noise. But I was going to do that, and it's this really cool book. It's a short book, only two chapters, and the first part is about this prophet coming to these people and saying, "Hey, you guys, the temple's been 70 years ago. The temple got torn down, and it's just a pile of rubble. And for 70 years, lots has happened in that 70 years. But we've built up our own houses, and our own houses are really grand. And God is saying, hey, what about my bride? What about this church?" And people would go back, and they would talk about this, and then they would begin to build this. But then they were building it, and at halfway through, they noticed that it just didn't look quite as grand as what it had looked like 70 years before it was attacked. And so their morale kind of crashed. And again, this prophet would say to them, "Hey, do you know why?" And he would take them through this whole idea of when it was initially built. It was built because God had commanded it, and people's hearts were in it. And now it is being built almost out of guilt. And so we got nails that aren't just sunken in there perfect. They're kind of halfway in and then bent over. And it just doesn't look quite right. And so this call to them saying, let's do this and remember that we're doing this. And at the end, God wins. And this bolstering of their self-esteem and the bolstering of their morale and this exciting thing. It's a really, really cool book. That's what I was going to preach. And I was all set to preach it, and it's written. And then I got here on Friday, and I turned on my computer and found out that something happened between Thursday night and Friday morning, and fear has sort of taken control, I would say. It sure is present. People are scared. Now, you might be of the personality where you go, "Listen, I've read the stuff about the coronavirus, and it says wash your hands, and you might get the flu. And if you get the flu, you should probably stay home. You'll have flu-like symptoms. That's what it's going to be. So relax. Don't worry about it." And if you're of that personality, you might find that the response of another kind of personality is particularly prickly. It's bothersome as people are responding by going to the store and buying up all kinds of stuff, or they're putting precautions on you that they won't matter, they won't do anything. It doesn't work that way. That's not what the science suggests. There's a problem there. And so if you're of that personality where you're saying, "Don't worry about it, relax," then you can kind of become resistant to this other sort of personality. Or perhaps you're the personality where you look at it and you go, "You know, it isn't a matter of me getting sick. I can handle the flu. It's a matter of I am concerned about how people are reacting." You see, they've gone to the store. They've bought up all the stuff. They've built this wall of protection between them and everyone else, and they have it all. And I'm worried about the seniors or the people who've got mobility issues or the people who perhaps they don't have a car and they can't get to the store to buy it. I'm worried about them. I'm not worried about the flu. I'm worried about the response of people. And you can look at the people who are just not worried at all and you're going, "You don't care. It's not about you. I get it. You're fine. You've got a deep freeze full of food. I get it." But not everybody is. Or you could be in the situation where you look at it and say, I really don't care about getting the flu. I really don't care about any of this stuff. What I care about is, how do I get paid? I got bills coming. I'm responsible for other people. I've got a business. And if I don't work, we don't eat. And I'm scared. Or you could be someone who, for whatever reason, from the time you were young, you have been convincingly taught that you're not safe, that the world is out to get you, and that you've got nothing more than your own actions. And everything you see on the media reinforces that for you and says, you had better go. Don't worry about what anyone says. You need to get enough stuff that you can ensure that you will be okay. And the other sheep are blind, and they will be first to the slaughter. Or you might find yourself somewhere in the middle of one or two of those. My personality is one where I say, wash your hands, don't worry about it. My mom's personality is one where she says, we need to be prepared. My sister's personality is one that is fearful. She doesn't know what to do. When I look at my sister, I'm frustrated with her because I'm like, wash your hands. How much soap do you have? If you don't have toilet paper, don't worry. You have a shower. You'll be fine. How many socks without mates do you have? How many do you need? This is the first time in my life I have ever talked about toilet paper on stage at a church service. Mark down the date. God created every person with three distinct traits. One of them is mind, one of them is body, and one of them is soul. Christians, hear me clearly. You cannot take care of one and neglect the others. It's not allowed. You cannot take care of only your soul. You cannot read Scripture and pray and do absolutely nothing else and call yourself healthy. You can't do that. You cannot be an athlete, an absolute physical specimen, much like myself. You cannot be like that and neglect your soul. Why are you guys snickering? You cannot neglect your soul. You cannot neglect your mental health. You cannot put out of your head anything that challenges you. You cannot put away from you anyone who disagrees with you. You cannot stop learning. You cannot become fearful of what you don't understand and call yourself healthy. You can't do that. Mind, body, and soul. And today we find ourselves where all three of these are challenged. Some of you may show up here today not knowing what on earth I'm talking about. That is probably because you don't have Facebook. But there's also a problem with not knowing what's going on in anyone else's life. There's a problem with not knowing the fear that is represented in your brothers and sisters' lives, in this church life. And so today what I'm going to go through is I'm going to work through mind, body, and soul, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that we are prepared to do, some of the things that we are planning to do as Christians, as a church, and also individually, and I'm going to call you to action. I'm going to call me to action. Everything that I talk about today is based entirely in Scripture. And so if you've got your Bibles, I invite you to open them. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It'll also be up on the screen. I'm going to read this out loud. You are going to notice a theme. Take that theme and let it sink deeply into your soul. This is crucial, and it's found all through Scripture, again and again. Study this book of instruction continually. That is the Bible. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it, mind, body. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Soul, do not be afraid or discouraged. I want to say that together. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, including Walmart, the toilet paper aisle. Including the hospital. We'll go to the next one here. Philippians 4, chapter 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Raise your hand if God has been good to you. Thank God for all he has done. Let's go to the next. Psalm 23. Anyone ever heard this one before? Psalm 23? It's been preached on a time or two. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. Pause. Who knows this is? He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He makes me to lie down. It does not say he invites you to come into this nice green pasture and say, have a little settle down. It says he makes me to lie down. Anyone ever had the flu? He makes you to lie down in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Someday I'm going to do a whole series on your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Some of us think that what he does with his rod and his staff is he sees you and he goes, whack! Oh, you're a sinner! Bam! Gotcha, smite! You're my smite guy. That's not what it says. And you talk to any shepherd, take the rod and the staff and run it over the back, oh, gently, the back of a scared animal. The animal settles down. Or they're not a good shepherd. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And when the bear comes to eat the sheep, that staff protects the sheep. Mind, body, soul, all three. We'll go on to the next one. This is Isaiah 40, 28 and 29. Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the earth and our immune system and everything that gets put together to make a drug and everything that got put together to make a virus. Isn't that an interesting one? He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gets it. He understands your fear. He understands where it comes from. He understands that this might taste just exactly like something that happened to you when you were 3 years old and you can't separate yourself from that fear. He gets it. Nobody else does. They weren't there. They don't understand. But God does. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Oh, this is a nutritious theme, hey? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. As a church, we have some responses. We have some things that we do. Some of these are official things, and I'm going to take you through them, and I'm going to tell you if this is a problem that actually grows and actually becomes something that we have to officially deal with, here's what it will look like, and I'll tell you that. But first and foremost, we come to the Lord in prayer. This is our first non-negotiable. We are to pray. We are to bring to God the situation we find ourselves in and ask first, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And so we need to pray. There are some practical things that we can do. Dale's not here today, but you're very thankful for him, I promise. He's been working hard in this building. He's been Javexing everything. I'm telling you, if you touch it, it's been cleaned. Every door handle that there is, every surface that there is. You go into the nursery, all of the toys that are small enough to go into someone's mouth have been bagged up, sealed. And on Tuesday, we're going to have us a bleach party. Watch out, they're going to be clean. But until that day, they're sealed. Kids can't get to them. And so we contacted the parents and said, would you please bring your own toys and then take them with you when you're done? All the surfaces cleaned. We went out to the store and we bought the stuff that we need to ensure that we are doing all we can do to deal with people's fear. We have hand sanitizer. We're told that that kills most everything, germs. We have some. You're welcome to use it as much as you want. Rub it down on your face. I don't care. Go for it. We have lots. And if we run out, we have more. We canceled the potluck. That cuts deep. That one, listen, guys. Okay, so here's off script. This is a very dangerous thing. I'm sitting in my house yesterday, and I know that if the potluck goes on, there are going to be people who don't come because they're frightened. And I understand that. I love those people. But I love potluck. I mean, come on. You're either going to have a really great potluck or you're going to go home and have a nasty sandwich. And I want potluck. And I'm sitting there and God is saying, Peter, the way you love people is by you canceling the potluck. And I'm going, yeah, God, but listen, I love potluck too. So what if we just say, you're welcome to stay for potluck, but if you don't want to stay, that's okay. Let's do that. And God said, why don't you cancel potluck? And I said, God, come on. I mean, the science says it's probably going to be okay. And God says, how do you love people? And as science and people and science and people. And okay, fine. Type in. Potluck canceled. Response, why? Because some people are fearful. And because I love those people more than we love potluck. We'll do potluck again, I promise. Not today. Today, invite someone to your home to eat your food. It would be the same as what you would have done here, except it'll be in your home. You might make a new friend. We're watching to see if we are permitted to continue meeting together. Many churches have ceased their in-person service. And what they've done is they've gone online. Here's what you don't know. In the background, for the last little while, Brennan and I have been working to put together a way of recording the services and live streaming them. It's coming. It's going to stay. We do this for a few reasons. The first is because there's some people who want to participate and can't or won't for many different reasons. And it's an evangelistic tool. We want to spread the truth of who Jesus is as far as we can using every ability that we have. Number two, the statistics are conclusive. If you are in the millennial generation or younger, and you've not come to the church, you're going to watch it online so that you know what to expect before you ever come. This is the way it is. And so we want to provide that. We already do the audio version. We're going to do the video version. And this might push that date. It's going to happen. Because if we can't meet together in person, we're going to meet together online. We are not going to quit church. By the way, no human being can cancel church. Not a one of them. And here's why. Because the church is not and never was this roof and these walls. It is these people. And so long as you are here, we tend to put a roof over you so snow doesn't land on your head. But if this burns down, we are still the church. And so we will have church together. We'll have the church together online. Now, what I'm about to say, some of you are going to understand, and some of you are going to look at me questioning and say, is he really being truthful? We are going to provide for you a way of tithing. We're going to provide for you an ability to go on the website. If we close this down and you can't come, you'll be able to go onto the website, take your Interact card, take whatever, and click on it and give online. Why? Because it's important for your health. Mind, body, and soul. You see, this is a question of fear. Tithing is always a question of fear. Do you trust God to provide for you as he promised he would? And if your answer is no, your issue is not tithing. Your issue is trust and trust of God. See, he's called it from us. It is a point of worship. It's how we care for others. It's how we keep the lights on. And it's how we have staff, of which I'm one of them. My next point, staff. How do we deal with this? I promise that if I start having symptoms, I'm going to stay away. I'm going to call in sick. Carmen, I need the same from you. Dale, online, I need the same from you. We're not going to create a place where people feel unsafe. We have the medical documentation has said if you have a mild cough or low-grade fever of 37.3 degrees Celsius or more, please stay home. I've taken my temperature. I'm good. But we're going to take this seriously. Because I'm not going to hold on to my pride and say, you can't tell me what to do. I've had a flu before. It won't kill me. And put everyone else at risk. I can't do that. And I won't do that. You will have heard that there are different things that have been canceled. You need to know that the music festival going on has just been canceled. Schools in Quebec, Manitoba, Ontario, there we go. That's geography in my head. Okay, those schools have been canceled. We're watching in Saskatchewan. You will have also heard of multiple churches that have been, like I said, they've gone online. We're watching. And what is asked of us, we will do. Furthermore, if we have a confirmed case that happens in this congregation, if we have that confirmed case, we'll go online. We will communicate like crazy to you. Here's how it happens. Facebook is enormous. I know some of you don't like Facebook. I understand that. It is enormous. And so we communicate through that and through email. If we don't have your email, you need to make sure we have it, or else we can't communicate to you. It will also be online. You'll find out on our website. Just type in the church's name. You'll find out what's happening, if there are any changes. If you don't hear us saying that church is canceled, it's not canceled, and we want you to come. We are looking to make the church public gatherings as safe as possible. I promise not to hug you. I'm a huggy guy. I had to call some other huggy people. We've got a few guys around here with cattle prods. If they see a hug coming, you're going down. I'm kidding about that, but we promise not to hug you. We're supposed to not shake hands right now. I'm sure that this will pass. I'm counting on it passing. It was hard today. I had to do the elbow bump. A couple people, we touched feet. That's better, I'm told. Okay. I'm no medical doctor. I don't know. But they've called this from us. And so that's how we're going to respond. I want you to know that the elders board and I have been working to create paths for people who have need. Now, this is going to lead us into our next part. There are going to be some people, I am sure, who have a practical need. They need some stuff. Calling on you. It's easy to kind of look down on people who've bought all of the toilet paper, all of the hand sanitizer. It's easy to do that. I was sitting in my house and I was thinking about that, and God reminded me of my full to bursting deep freeze. I said, how is that different? And I thought, oh, I bought it on sale to make sure I'd have enough. Okay. If you're hungry, I want you to call me. I've got a deep freeze. You're welcome to it. We do have toilet paper. You're welcome to that too. Or my soap. I want to call you to respond in the same way. My friend Brenda, who's not here today, she posted something on Facebook that I really loved. She said, I have a car. I'll drive errands for you. If you need some of my stuff, I have stuff. If you're scared, come. Let me sit with you. If you're scared, but you don't want to sit with me, email me. We'll FaceTime. We'll Skype. We'll do something. I'll create a way. And I think that is the response of a Christian. It is not the response of a Christian to look down on someone who is scared and say, you shouldn't be scared because I'm not scared because science. I believe the science to be true. God created science. I believe that with my whole heart. I believe science points to Christ, points to the creativity of Christ, points to how far in the future Christ has thought, and we are just discovering these science things that change our life and are tremendous, but there is still emotional fear. By the way, remember, Jesus himself responded emotionally. Yes, he did. Mount of Olives, anyone? An emotional response. In the temple, when the temple became too fancy so the poor people couldn't come, they had to, for sacrifices, they had to come and buy the super spiritual doves, the super spiritual extra duper kind of animals to sacrifice, and the poor people couldn't get them. What did Jesus do? He responded emotionally. He went and he kicked the chairs out from underneath people. He took the cages and broke them open so these extra super duper animals were released. He responded emotionally because God is an emotional God. He is also a scientific God, and we have both of these things in us. They're not in conflict. It's just sometimes we grab onto one and release the other. I got to hurry this up here. We have an interesting situation that we find ourselves in. Our district superintendent is a guy named Bernie Vanderwall. Used to be, you would have heard the name perhaps, Al Fedorik, and he's retired. And we have a new guy, a fresh guy, still has that new car smell on him. His name is Bernie Vanderwall. He's a man who I know and a man who I trust. And he sent out an email to the pastors, and I'm going to read bits of this email to you because I think it is wise, and I think it's appropriate. As much as any time previously in both word and deed, we have been afforded an opportunity to speak peace into chaos. I was asked if I miss living in the city, and I said I miss three things. I miss a good barber shop. That is not a salon. It is a barber shop. We don't have one in this town. I miss a good Monte Cristo sandwich. It's not available in this town. I don't care how much money you have. Can't be bought. And I miss a car parts place that's open till 11 o'clock at night. That is everything about the city that I miss. Here's what I don't miss. Chaos and fear. We're hearing about hour-long waits before people can get into a grocery store, before it's opened. Going in and literally grabbing everything off a shelf. Anything. I don't think we have that here. I was in Walmart and they assured me, number one, there are trucks coming refilling it all the time. Number two, they weren't out of stuff. When I was there, there were still a few bits of toilet paper available. Not the cheap kind, but it was there. There was food, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the chaos hasn't spread here. We need to be careful that it doesn't. And we're able to speak peace into chaos. And often when someone is exposed to chaos and they're feeling chaos, they can't reason peace. And what they need is they need to feel the presence of a peaceful person beside them. By the way, it is not your peace. It is the peace of Christ through you. You can't create the way that person will experience and will absorb that peace, but God can and will. That peace will pass understanding. You don't have to create that, but we're able to do that. As a church and as a body of Christ, we're able to do that. Here's the next one. We've been afforded an opportunity to speak hope into despair. People think they're going to die. And guess what? They may. Happens every year. We may have people that die. I have got a grandmother well into her 90s. This might take her. It's not foolish. There is evidence. There is science. There is emotion. Now, a response to it, that can be foolish. But as a body of Christ and as people who understand who Jesus is and what Jesus did, we can speak hope into that. And we can say to people, this isn't over. You're not alone. I know that you're scared. Let me just sit beside you while you're scared. If you won't let me do that, let me talk to you on the phone. This is something that's, I don't understand it, but I see it, and it makes me laugh. Do you know, my children have grown up in a different technological world than I have, and I suspect that's true for most of you as well. I once watched as a guy who's, he's a pastor at a church, he was engaged to this girl. She lived in a different province than him. And so what they would do is they would turn on FaceTime, which is just a way it's a camera and a phone going at the same time. You can see the person and you can talk to the person. And they would watch movies together, the same movie at the same time. They would say, oh, count of three, we're going to press play. One, two, three, play. And they would watch the movie and they would talk back and forth. And they would walk around with their phones out, just their day-to-day stuff, walking down in the city, walking down the road to get on the bus, and in the country, walking through a field and just talking to each other and just being there. Talking to other people, but there was a third person there. Maybe we're called to that. Maybe we're called to find a scared person, put down our dislike of technology, put down our dislike of how things are different now than they used to be, turning on this way of connecting with a person and saying, you're not alone. You might be the closest thing to Jesus this person has ever met. And the truth of who Jesus is through you, through technology, into the very soul of a person who's frightened. We have that opportunity. We have been afforded an opportunity to speak justice into egoism and hoarding. Hoarding is egoism. Hoarding is saying me, 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 and not you. That's all it is. If you have built up a barrier of soup cans, pasta, paper product, you're separating between you and someone else. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to your neighbor and say, do you need toilet paper? Take some of mine. Do you need food? I have plenty. Here's the best of what I have. I'm going to eat the expired beans. You eat the steak. Because Jesus. We're able to speak into this ego stuff and say, no, 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 no. Oh, and by the way, the frightened people, if they hear that if they come here, they'll meet you and you have food for them and you have warmth for them and you have friendship for them, they might step out behind that barrier, behind that wall. We have that opportunity. We have been afforded an opportunity above all to speak love and speak charity into distrust. The distrust is clear, isn't it? The world will not take care of me. Something or someone is coming to kill me, and I will stop them by what I can do. I had a conversation this morning with a guy who is, encouraging me to arm myself. I would much rather you come eat from my freezer. If that's not good, let me take the food, I'll put it in a bag, and I'll throw it onto your lawn so that you can eat it. As Christians, we have the opportunity to do this. Now, here's my last point, and then I'm going to call the worship team to come up again. Here's my last point. We are made in God's image, yes? Who believes that? Raise your hand. We are made in God's image. One of the primary things that God did at the very beginning of Scripture, the Genesis 1:1, we start seeing this, is He was creative. He made cool stuff. He went and he took stuff and the other stuff and made stuff. And we are made in his image, which means we are called to respond to this problem creatively. You might not be able to buy toilet paper. What you gonna do? What other creative method do you have? What other creative means can you, what can you invent? How can you solve a problem? I have a friend of mine who's from India. He says, sent me multiple pictures of bidets. Yeah, we're not dead yet. There are options. How many of you can come up with a new way, something we haven't done before, of caring for each other? We are. It's in the very nature of God to be creative, and he created us in that image. Come on up, guys. I'm going to pray for us. And once we're done singing, not that we're done singing, I don't mean to say that, we're going to enter into a time of singing, and at a certain point in that time, I'm going to come up and issue us one more challenge. And then I'm going to send us out, right past the potluck, to go do something, Christians. The most richest of all people, us. Mind, body, and soul in every way. Do we want them to stand? I invite you to stand and let's sing like we have been provided for. Do you remember the story of Esther? Esther found herself in a situation where she was very unhappy. Very unhappy. She was being abused. She was being hurt. She didn't want to be there. She was being taken away. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Don't think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. See, they were saying all the Jews are going to die. They're saying they're going to die. Sounds like Facebook to me, a little bit. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Who knows? If you have come to Kindersley, to this town, for such a time as this, you see, God works in this way. Sometimes when bad things happen, he says, I've got an answer for you. Bess Weatherix. I've got an answer for you. Friesen's. Ralph's. I see, I've placed them there for just such a time as this, for right now, on your marks, ready, set, go. Don't stand there and go, God, what have you called me to? He's called you to speak into the chaos. Peace, love, creativity. Sufficiency, truth, in ways that you can't understand, but he can. Lord God, this is the best church in the world. It's the best people in the world. Stir in us what you would have us do. Show us that scared person. Let us step outside of our own fear. Let us step outside of our own past, the times where we felt not safe, that we are brought right back into that time. Let us step outside of that and see other people who don't know who you are. And call them into relationship, into safety. God, I really think in about 2 or 3 weeks we'll be talking about something different. That's what I really think. We've got 2 or 3 weeks where people are terrified and calling out, "Is anyone safe?" Don't let us be silent. Put people in our path. Show us who. Let us be driving home and your desire comes on us so strongly that we stomp on the brakes, skid to a stop, and knock on someone's door and say, "Are you hungry? Are you scared? Do you have enough?" Thank you for preparing us for such a moment as this. In your name I pray. Amen. I want you to come back next week, but now I want you to go. You've got homework. Go do it. We'll see you next week.